mercy and his grace and all that he has done. Amen. I'm going to try and speak to you today a short word that I hope will bless you and encourage you. If we could stand for the reading of God's word. There's a wedding that's coming about. There's a wedding coming about. And it's the most important event in world history. You know, there have been some big royal weddings. You know, Prince Charles and this high and mighty and rich one. And some people have spent some ridiculous amounts of money, the rich people, on weddings. $2, $3, $4 million on a wedding. But there is a wedding coming about that is going to top all weddings. And it's found in the book of Revelation, chapter 19 and verse 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Let's bow our heads at this time. Lord, we just ask you to let your anointing flow in this service. Lord, we ask you for words that will really touch our hearts, that will move us. Oh God, that will really put us in a place where we want to draw closer to you. We thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This world is in a big mess. This world is in a big mess. When I was 8, and you all know this, I was raised in the church, and I had been hearing for so many years about the coming of the Lord, that Jesus was going to come and take his people. And I had wanted to be baptized. My father was a preacher, was a minister. From before I was born, he was ordained the year before I was born, 1955. And I grew up in church, always hearing that Jesus is coming and that this world is going to be set on fire and that there is going to be billions of people who are going to be destroyed. And as a child growing up and hearing that preached, I wanted to be saved. And I really believed it. But my parents thought, he's too young and he doesn't understand, so they wouldn't let me be baptized. So one night, my parents went out, and for those of you who haven't heard this story before, they went out and they stayed a little bit longer than I thought they should, and I was thinking about all of this and thinking about the coming of the Lord. And I began to think that Jesus had come and that they weren't coming back. Because I was serious. I was 8 or 9, I think, must have been 9, because I think my brother was a baby, so I must have been maybe 9. And I was so sure that Jesus had come and taken them that I called the police. And I told the police, I dialed 9, you know, and got through to the operator. And I told him in my little child voice that my parents had gone. Now, I was smart for a 9-year-old. I knew they wouldn't understand about the rapture, about Jesus coming. So I didn't tell them that because I knew they wouldn't understand. So I just said, they're gone. And they said, are you sure? I said, yes, they're gone. They're not coming back. Just as I hung up the phone, my parents opened the door and came through. And of course, they had a lot of explaining to do. Because the police came around and wanted to know why I thought they were never coming back. So I got them in a lot of trouble. But my father said, you know what? I'm going to let you be baptized. I see you really want to not miss this event. Church, there's an event coming. And it's nearer now than it was when I was 8. That was 50 years ago. And this week, what made me start to think about this, I don't think I've ever preached directly on the coming of the Lord, but something happened, well, several things happened that made me know that as Andre Crouch penned that song, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Church is going to be packed the day after the rapture. You know that? People be calling people and saying, have you seen so-and-so? Have you seen Aunt Sue? Have you seen Uncle so-and-so? Where they're gone? Church is going to be packed. Church is going to be packed, but it will be too late. You know, I'm not trying to scare anyone, but I'm just trying to warn you that Jesus is coming back. The signs are all around us. This weekend coming up, you just had an eclipse of the sun in Europe. They said this eclipse has been the first one of this kind for hundreds of years. This Passover coming up, you're going to have what's called a blood moon, when the earth will go in front of the moon, and because of the sun behind, it's going to make the moon go red. The Bible said before the great and glorious appearing, it says that he's going to turn the moon into blood. There have been four of them are scheduled. This is the third one. There's one more after this one that will be coming in September. We're in the time of the end, people. The Bible says men's hearts will be failing them for fear. I'm telling you that Jesus is soon to return. The title of this message is, Have You Got Your Invitation? You can't gatecrash this wedding. It's by invitation only. You have to make sure that you have the invite, because if you don't, you're not getting into this wedding. This is the wedding. This is the society wedding to end all weddings. This is the one that you need to be at, because the Bible says he is coming. Amen. I'm telling you that there's some things that if we could understand it and know it, we would be scared. I'm not really scared for me. I'm actually happy for me. I can't stop smiling when I think about the coming of the Lord, because I can think of a lot of things I won't have to worry about. Amen. There's a lot of things I won't have to do. I won't have to pay my car payment. I won't have to pay my rent payment. I won't have to pay my mortgage. There won't be no medical bills. Amen. They can have it all, because I've got my invitation. I'm going to a wedding that is going to be just the top notch. The Bible says that in Revelation 19, blessed are they which are called. You can't just get up into that wedding. They'll throw you out. This is by invitation only. Are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. These are true sayings. You know, we all our life we've been hearing about the coming of the Lord. Even Hollywood has gotten in on the scene. They've made some movies, Left Behind. I don't want to be left behind. I've been through that experience before where I thought I was left behind. I know better now not to call the police. Police won't be able to help you. It'll be too late. The Bible says that on the day that Noah entered the ark, the Bible says that God shut the door. God shut the door. I'm trying to tell you that the door is starting to move. We see that in just at the end of this month, that there's going to be seven nations are going to be signing, they're not going to call it a treaty, but they're going to be signing something that is about like a treaty. We see that there are certain things just falling into place. There's some things falling into place that would scare you if you knew it. I remember the last time that I was in the semi-military, you want to call it. I was on a Air Force base. The last time that, and most of you are too young to remember this, but America went to a high-level nuclear alert. And I just happened to be on a nuclear base when this alert went out. It was in 1973. When President Nixon was in power, and there was almost a nuclear war. Not many people knew that, because the Russians had threatened to invade Israel. And so America secretly put all their nuclear forces on alert. I'm telling you, if we knew what was going on, the Bible says, in such a time as you think not. The Bible says that he's going to come like a thief in the night. I'm asking you today, do you have your invitation? Because this is a wedding that you can't gate crash. This is not a thing you're going to just show up and get let in. You need to have the wedding garment. You need to make sure that your calling and election has been worked out. Matthew 22 verse 3 says, and he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. See, in Sunday school we talked about how when Jesus was on earth, he told his disciples, only go to the household of Israel. Don't go to any Gentiles. Because he first came to see if the people who were bidden would come to the feast. And they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it. The world has been hearing for 2,000 years that Jesus is coming. So they don't believe it. They're waiting for some big event. Who could have believed that in this day and age, people would be beheading people? But this is a fulfillment of Scripture. This is what has been prophesied in the book of Revelation, where the Bible says John saw the souls under the altar that had been beheaded for the witness of Christ. See, we can barely come to church because of a little weather. Are you ready to be beheaded? Are you ready to? The Bible says that they love not their life. I want to be at the place that if it should ever happen, I'd say, please take me home, Jesus. I'm going to get a new body. Jesus said in John chapter 14, he said he didn't want you to be worried. He said, don't fret about this because I go away to prepare. See, he's got all the preparations. All the food has been laid out. Everything has been set up. All of the garments have been prepared. Do you have your invitation? But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Everybody is so busy. I got too much. I can't come to church. I just can't come to. I got to look after this. I got to look after that. Till something happens to you and you can't look after nothing. And somebody has to look after you. See, I'm not one of these shouting preachers. But if the word don't move you, I'm not going to shout you to move. I used to be pretty unemotional person. You can ask my family. Then the Lord did something to me. And anytime the word gets hold of me, I get choked up. Because there is power in his word. And the remnant took his servants and treated them vilely and slew them. So guess what? The wedding was open to whosoever will. I'm trying to tell you today that there's a wedding invitation that's been sent. But you need to go down and pick it up. And you need to say, RSVP, I'm coming. Book me a seat. Prepare a place for me because I'm coming to that wedding. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. There's coming a time on the earth, the Bible says, such as never was. Now, that's hard to believe. You look at what man can do to man. You look at how horrible and how terrible people have starved people to death, burned people up. And yet the Bible says that this is just the beginning of sorrows. There's coming a time on earth such as never was. See, the majority of the demons and fallen angels have been locked up. Come to Bible study, you'll find out about that. But the Bible says in the book of Revelation, he saw a star fall from heaven with the key. You know what's going to happen? Key's going to be opened. And out of hell is going to come some stuff that has never been seen on this earth for several thousands of years. You think the earth is bad now? You wait till possession is whole scale, till crazy people are everywhere. You saw in Atlanta this man went with a machete and tried to chop up people. Multiply that a few thousand times. The Bible says that men's hearts will be failing them for fear. But, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. You need to go down to your mailbox, which is here, open up the mail, get your invitation. And you need to RSVP, Lord, I'm coming, book me a place. I'm not going to be here. I don't want to be here. I've made up my mind that this is not for me. See, this is just the beginning of sorrows. See, God always sends invitations. You look in the Bible says God called Enoch. You know what happened? The Bible said Enoch walked with God. You know what? He got his call. The Bible says he was not, for God took him. Just took him out of this earth. That is the example for us Christians. God is going to take us. If you have your invitation, if you have RSVP'd, the Bible says that there is going to be a trump sound. Many scholars say that if Jesus hadn't said, Lazarus, come forth, if he had just said, come forth, every single dead person would have risen. But I believe I'm going to hear my name. Your name has got a personal invitation on it. And when Jesus says, come up hither, the Bible says in a twinkling of an eye. You know how fast that is? Just blink and we'll be gone. Amen. God called Noah. He has an invitation for Noah. He said, Noah, the end of all flesh has come upon me. I'm tired of all the violence. I'm done with all the sinning. I'm done with what people have done to my beautiful earth. But I'm going to save you. The Bible says that Noah found grace. It's not too late. We can find grace today. This is not no shouting message, but I'm telling you, the Lord is coming. You're going to have to wait for about 2 weeks before I can teach you all the things that the Lord has given to me, but the Lord is coming. There's some things that have been just falling into place in the news and around the world that if you haven't noticed it, we see that Israel is becoming a stench in all the other nations. President Obama said the U.S. is going to have to reassess their relationship with Israel. The Bible predicts that Israel will be by herself. And we see it falling into place. The coming of the Lord is soon. It's time to stop messing about. It's time to stop playing church. It's time to stop going about your merchandise. It said, oh, I got to do this. I just got married. I got to do all this stuff. When is God going to be first in your life? When are you going to have a made up mind? When are you going to say, you are first, Lord. I'm going to seek you with all my heart, with all my soul. Anything less, you're an idol worshiper. You may not have a stone statue. You may not have candles in your front room. But if God is not first in your life, you're an idol worshiper. The Bible said in Genesis 12, the Lord had said. See, Abraham had been called. He'd gotten an invite. But for some reason at first, he didn't do nothing about it. We read in Genesis 12, verse 1, it says, the Lord had said to Abraham, get on out of there, Abraham. Come on out of Ur of the Chaldees. I've got somewhere else for you to go. I've got a promised land for you to go to. But you know, like most of us, we don't listen to the first voice we hear. We kind of play around. It took a while for Abraham to actually do what God said. God is speaking to someone here today saying it's time to change your lifestyle. The great thing about God, he's so merciful. It doesn't matter if you've been serving him 50 years or if you came at the last hour. But it's he that is at the end. The same shall be saved. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise about that. We see that all of these Old Testament people who got their invitation to the wedding had to wait. You ever showed up early? You got to wait. Abraham finally accepted the invitation. We see his son Isaac finally accepted the invitation. But until Jesus came, the wedding wasn't set yet, so they had to wait. If we turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it says, by faith, when he was called, when he got the invitation, to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went. We can't tell you what heaven exactly is going to be like. I haven't seen it. Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, what God has got prepared, but it's been revealed through the Holy Spirit. You see, it's by faith. Amen. It's by faith. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. All the Old Testament saints who gave their lives, who gave up all their living, left their family, traveled hundreds of miles to a strange place, looking for this place, looking for deliverance. The Bible said that they had to wait because the wedding wasn't set yet. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she believed. See, God is a God of the impossible. You have to believe. Verse 12 says, therefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky. God fulfilled his promise. After God gave Abraham a son, he told him, go kill him. Go take him up on this mountain and sacrifice him. But the Bible tells us that when Abraham was going up the mountain, he told his servants, the lad and me were going to come back down. Now how could that be? Unless he believed that though ye were dead, yet shall he live. I'm telling you that if you have got your invitation now, you need to RSVP. Lord, I'm coming. I trust you. Even though I'm dead, even though I'm going through some stuff, even though the devil is trying to destroy my faith, even though he's trying to take me out of church, Though he were dead, yet shall he live. No matter what your situation is, God can resurrect it. Amen? See, they all had to wait. Abraham had to wait. Isaac had to wait. Jacob had to wait. And in the Bible, there's a certain term that the Bible uses to explain where these people went waiting for the marriage supper of the Lamb. In Genesis 25, verse 8, it says, "Then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years." And here's what you need to look at. It says, "and was gathered to his people." In the Old Testament, that's the phrase that tells you someone died a righteous death. When it says gathered to his people, that means God was putting them in the waiting room. Their reservation was safe. They were going into the wedding banquet. Genesis 35, 29. And we see his son Isaac also had to wait. It says Isaac gave up the ghost and died. And guess what? And was gathered unto his people. Being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Then we see his son, Jacob. Genesis 49, 33. "And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people." See, all these Old Testament saints were waiting for that wedding feast, waiting for the redemption of the body. But because Jesus hadn't come yet, the bridegroom hadn't come yet, they just had to go into the waiting room, so to speak. They were gathered unto their people, waiting, waiting, waiting. You know, but there's also a phrase in the Old Testament of people who did not die a righteous death. And we can see that too. That's why I'm telling you, you better make your election and calling sure. You better make sure you've got your invitation. Because in Leviticus, we see the opposite of people who died a righteous death. Leviticus 7:27. And we see the law come forth. And the Bible says that the law, the strength of the law is sin, right? "Whatsoever soul it be that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from his people." Leviticus 18:29, "For whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the soul that committeth them shall be cut off from among his people." You died outside the law. You didn't go to the waiting room. You were going to the grave. You were going to Sheol. You were going to hell. You had missed your opportunity. I'm telling you today, we need to make sure that if we go the way of the grave, that we're going to be gathered to our people. Amen. See, I know where my father is going to be. Amen. That's why I did not shed too many tears at his death. Yes, I sorrowed because I loved him. But I know if I will do what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to be gathered to him. See, Jacob, before he died, he explained how the wedding is going to work. He knew God had showed him. And in Genesis 49, he made a prophecy about the bridegroom coming, the one who was going to rule, the one who was going to be the chief of the wedding. And he said, "The scepter," you know, it's a king that has a scepter, "shall not depart from Judah, shall not depart from praise, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh." Now, Shiloh is a messianic term that's speaking about Jesus come. And you know, when he came, then everybody is going to be what? Gathered to him. You see, this is speaking about the rapture. There's coming a time when the lawgiver, the one, the Prince of Peace, the everlasting Father, the one who was prophesied in Isaiah 9:6 comes. And then everybody who dies then is going to be gathered to him. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed." In Sunday school, we were talking about the Gentile bride and how when Joseph was taken out of prison and made to be the second highest ruler in Egypt, that everyone had to bow the knee to him. The Bible says that every tongue shall confess and every knee is going to do what? Bow. Amen. I want to do it now. I want to do it in love. I want to do it in joy because I got my invitation. I'm going to a wedding, and this is going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, I don't know how much Beyonce's wedding cost. You have some of these celebrities, they get married for 2 months, spend $10 million, then they get divorced. But what I want is a wedding that's going to be a lifetime commitment. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. The coming of the Lord is soon. That's what I'm trying to get over to you today. I may not have given you this elegantly, but I'm looking to be gathered to my people. Amen. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I'm about ready for a change. I'm about ready not to groan when I get up and groan when I sit down. Now, you young people don't understand that, amen? But the hair is getting gray. All kinds of things are starting to fade, and my eyesight is starting to go. I'm about ready for a change. I'm about ready for my new temple. I'm about ready for that new tabernacle that's not made with hands. I'm just like Abraham. I'm looking for that city whose foundation has been built by God. Amen. I'm telling you, saints, we need to get serious. Nobody knew when Jesus was coming the first time. Despite all the prophecies, despite everything that had gone before that he was supposed to come, everybody was sleeping. Jesus told the parable of the 10 virgins, and the 5 wise, they were sleeping too. The church needs to wake up, because I'm telling you that the cry is going out. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. I was telling the church, what a waste to have come to church all your life to miss it at the last minute. I don't have no police to call this time. I'll know better. I want to make my calling and election sure. I'm telling you, there's a time coming on this planet such as never was. You think it's just going to stay in Iraq and Iran where they're killing people and beheading them, where they're burning people? There's coming a time where you're going to have to stand up for being a believer in Christ. The Bible says if you cannot walk with the footmen, how are you going to run with the chariots? We're going to have to make up now that no matter what, Jesus, I'm going to serve you. No matter what, I'm going to love you. I've got my reservation. I've got my ticket. I've sent in my RSVP, and I'm coming to the wedding. Amen. I'm just waiting for my heavenly chariot to come and take me. Jesus is coming. Let's stand today. Revelation 19:9. Right. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. When Jesus was telling this parable, he found someone, the king found someone who had somehow gotten into the wedding banquet, but he didn't have the wedding garment on. So the king called him out and said, hey, friend, how did you get in here? You don't have the wedding garment on. And the Bible says he was thrown out. You see, not only must you have the invite, but you've got to have the wedding garment on. But here's the beautiful thing. Today when you stand up for a wedding, you got to go buy your own tux. Get your own dress. But in those days, whoever put on a wedding, they had to provide it. Jesus has provided the wedding garment. It's free. All you have to do is put it on. All you have to do is accept it. The cry has gone out. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. There are no more prophecies that I know about that are stopping the coming of the Lord. He could come this week. He could come next month. He could come tomorrow. And if it's just for me, you're going to see me start smiling if I start thinking about that. I'm sorry, but I can't help it. Because I got a mansion. I got some stuff over there. I don't have no treasure down here. I'm sorry, I don't have no 401k down here. Because where my treasure is, that's where my heart is. Amen. Stock market crashes tomorrow, I won't lose a thing. Amen. The Lord is my keeper. Amen. The Lord is my provider. He gives me my daily bread. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Amen. Do you have your invitation? There's a wedding garment for you. The day of Pentecost message is very simple. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
That's all you have to do. The Bible says it before, if we have been buried with him in by baptism, we shall in so like manner be resurrected. I can't get up out of something I didn't put on.
Thank you, Jesus.
But if you will put on Christ,
thank you, Jesus,
that's the wedding garment.
Amen.
That's the wedding garment. We're closing this service.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And probably it'll be 2 more weeks before we can teach it, but on a Tuesday night I'm going to give you all the details that I'm talking about, some of the things I know that are happening in the world that is not common knowledge, but it's right up there. Sometimes man gets to the point where God has to interfere. That's happened a few times. The Bible said that when they were building the Tower of Babel, that they would have succeeded in everything that they had determined. So they forced God's hand. He had to interfere. Jesus said, except that he shortened those days for the elect's sake, man would succeed in doing what he's wanting to do. Do you know, I'll just tell you one thing, a couple things. They're planning a head transplant sometime in the next year. Taking somebody's head off of here and putting it on somebody else. That's for real. They're changing the genetics, the DNA. They're trying to do what Satan said to Eve in the garden. You can become God, but doing it your own way. They're changing the genetic code. There's some things going on right now that are so dangerous and so scary. You wouldn't believe that they could do it, but they're doing it. We're living in the last days. But you know, it's like they say, you can boil a frog if you start with the water cold. They'll stay right in there. This world is heating up. The end is coming. Do you have your invitation?
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I open this altar. This is just a heartfelt message that I'm telling you. I see some things that I've not seen before.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I see some things happening in this world that let me know that we're on the landing strip. This generation, Jesus said, that begins to see these things will not pass away till all of it be fulfilled. Coming of the Lord is near. Do you have your invitation? Have you prepared your wedding garment? This world will not be the place to be after the rapture happens. There's going to be some things that you can't even put into words. We need to get serious and commit our hearts and our lives and say, Lord, I want my invitation. I'm going to send you back RSVP.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
There's some significant events happening. Prophecy is being fulfilled right before our eyes, but we're not even seeing it. The Bible says that when Israel is left alone by all nations, that she will be attacked. I don't have any dates for you, but I can see it happening. I can see that whoever becomes president in the next 2 years, I can see Israel being isolated. I can see all the nations in the UN getting a resolution against Israel. I mean, you don't need the Bible to tell you that. That's obvious, but the Bible said it, but 2,000 years ago. It said, when you see Israel compassed, that means surrounded, don't go grab your clothes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Pray.
Hallelujah.
That your flight,
thank you, Jesus,
is not on a Sabbath.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
These things are coming to pass, church.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
These things are coming to pass. Do we have our invitation? Blessed are they which are called,
thank you, Jesus,
unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. I want to make sure I have my invitation. I got my wedding garment on. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. We're going to close this service. If you could bow your head with me.